Today on Real Radio.
God can save your family. God can save your life. God can save this church. God can save America. We just need to turn back to him in a broken way. Not telling him what to do, but falling down before him like a dead man.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's special edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack steps aside from his topical series called You Need to Know in order to focus on some important issues that face our nation. This is to commemorate the celebration of our nation's birth from a biblical worldview. What we're going to hear was delivered within days of the U.S. Supreme Court's 2015 decision on same-sex marriage, as well as one of their major decisions regarding Obamacare and the unborn. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Why Are You Standing Here?
How does revival come? Again, it comes this way by God, and he begins to start out. All revivals start out so small. When you read and learn about the history of revivals, it starts usually out with a group of people or a service somewhere, usually prayer. Prayer seems to be the thing that precedes the outbreak of revival, and it begins to spread into church, then to churches. Revival, by the way, listen, you guys, revival is not the salvation of the lost. Never. Revival is what it means, revive. You know what revive means? It means that which was once alive is brought back to life. It's when the church begins to live again. Then the ungodly are saved. Then the lost are found. Because the church becomes so radically attractive. She's so dynamic and spirit-led and powerful and loving and holy and pure and will not tolerate sin, but at the same time, absolute loving by God's love and his standards. She's the church alive. And listen, people give up. We know this historically. We know this, the nation of Israel in the Bible. And we know it even here in America. I'll tell you what freedom is not. Freedom is not calling good evil and evil good. Freedom is not mistaking sin for freedom or mistaking tolerance for righteousness. This freedom that God affords us this night is a freedom. The very concept of freedom is from God. God is the God of liberty. He's the one that led Israel out of captivity to do what? To set them free. God is not, listen, God does not delight in slavery of any sorts. If man imposes slavery and the gospel comes into that community or in that nation, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, if any of you are slave owners and you own a slave and now that you're a Christian, then treat them kindly, treat them lovingly. That's interesting, huh? I read this day that some guy was blasting George Washington because he owned 200 slaves. Listen. Then you start digging around history and you find out something about George Washington's slaves that he owned. First of all, he inherited them. He tried to set them free and then realized that if I set them free, they would probably starve to death or be chased down by others, so I'll treat them good. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, you ain't going to hear this in public school. General Washington, even into his presidency and to the time of his death, had with him a young man by the name of William Billy Lee. And Washington taught him how to dance. Washington taught him how to live. Washington taught him how to farm. George Washington taught him how to ride a horse. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? He was a black man. And Washington refused to have him be called his slave. People would say, that's Washington's slave. And so Washington would say, that's my valet. On George Washington's death, William Billy Lee was set free, and he inherited half of Washington's wealth, which at the time of his death, listen, Washington was worth $500 million our money today. $500 million our today. Washington. And here's the thing. Upon his death, all of his slaves were set free. Because he couldn't protect them any longer. He couldn't provide for them anymore. You think of that for a moment. And it was in their hearts to answer God's response to freedom. This is a freedom that God has placed in the human heart. Why are we standing here? Moses asked, or I should say God asked Moses, get up and go. And I want to encourage you tonight on this nation's birthday that the time has come for us to no longer stand in one place. God has called us to stand, but we need to move on. We need to press on. Because the Lord might say to us tonight, because it's time to seek the Lord. Why stand ye here? It's time to get up and seek the Lord like never before. To exercise our freedom. Thank you, God, that we had the freedom tonight to gather for a church service, for example. Thank God that we had the freedom to go home. Thank God. But listen, God would have us use these and exercise these freedoms. I want you to hear this. First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The exercise of religion, faith. Our Constitution, in its First Amendment, says the state will never create a state church, a state religious system. Oh, and by the way, we will never infringe upon your worship. That's the law. And here's what I'm saying to you tonight. Moses might speak to us, or maybe God would speak to us tonight and say, why are you standing? Get up and go. Exercise your freedoms. We are guilty. I'm guilty. We're all guilty. So much we have lost in these last, 10, 15, 20 years. We've lost so many freedoms because we didn't even know we had them, and we didn't even go to look to see what we had. We were cruising on our laurels, as it were, and we've lost freedoms that if we as a people would have spoken up, we wouldn't have lost them. More people should have spoken up about parental rights in this state. It's your child, for crying out loud. But in your silence, you let the government take your child. And things will become law on January 1st that you have no say about anymore over your child. We sat silent. No, it's time to get up and exercise that First Amendment right given to us by our founders. You say, well, I don't get involved in politics. Yes, you do. Every second of your life, you do. Every moment you do, we all do. But listen, I'll give you a Bible verse for the First Amendment. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Bible says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. The Bible says in Romans 13, verse 11, and do this, knowing the time that it is now high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Thank God. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. Your TVs, my TV, your TV has been filled with filthy acts as news reporters are covering parades with lewd and immoral conduct on TV. It's amazing. Horrible. Cast off from the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Freedom is maintained, my friend, by exercising the freedom we have. It's a biblical thing to do. It's not a political thing to do. The second thing I want you to think about tonight is, why are you standing here when I think God would be saying, it's time to obey me. It's time to obey God. God blesses obedience. I told you guys on Sunday, did I not, that I'm not a prophet. I was dressed up with a robe, but that was the black robe regiment thing. It wasn't any other thing. And yet I had mentioned about how, you know, we had taken certain stands over the years on things, and we turned out to be right simply because we were following the Bible. And the fact is that God blesses obedience, and when we're obedient to Him, He's going to respond. He's going to be generous to that. And as I said today, I did a bunch of reading on General Washington, President Washington. And I want you to see this. His image is the most recognizable image I read today on earth. You guys, go ahead and put that up, that image. Because of him, listen to this. This is like, I had to really pause for a minute and try to digest this. Because of him, this homegrown American from Virginia, by the way, he was homeschooled to the age of 16, grew up to be a man that birthed a nation unlike the world had ever seen. George Washington, listen, because of George Washington and this face that is the most recognizable face on the planet. I didn't know that. Did you know that? You know, you say, well, it's because of the dollar. I don't care. Well, doesn't matter. His face is on there. That's the most circulated face in the world. That face. This face, you see, this man, one person, this guy. That article went on to say that because of him, in 2015, there are literally billions, with a B, billions of people that have lived on earth or that are living on earth in the last 239 years that have enjoyed freedom because of this one man's effort. This one guy. One guy. One guy. And if you doubt that, read about his life. Congress wouldn't even support him when he was at war. He had to, listen, he used his own money to fund the war effort. Because Congress, they could, it was, nothing ever changes. Congress was arguing for months, and while they're fighting the war against the British, Congress was arguing, so Washington said, forget it. He calls up John Hancock and says, hey, listen, I'll put in a couple, 20, 30,000 bucks, you put in 20, 30, match my 30. And I'm not kidding, match, I'll do 30,000. You match mine. Did you know that match giving? Yeah. Oh, I'll match you 500 if you want to give to this thing. Let's do it together. Do you know who invented that? Ben Franklin did that. Benjamin Franklin. He would do that to support George Whitefield's evangelistic crusades. Ben Franklin. Matched giving. His idea. But this man's face right here, he stood against the greatest odds. Revival is not the Christianizing of a culture. Hear me out. If you've ever been to his burial site, you'll see his four favorite verses from the Bible, one from each gospel. Did you know that Washington would read his Bible and pray? They don't know how much time was divided up between the two, but when able, when he's not engaged in battle, from 10 to 11 o'clock every morning, Washington would retire to his tent for Bible and prayer. Eyewitness accounts say that Washington would spend another hour at night before bed in prayer. Man of God, you'll see him in heaven. But God moves in revival, and America needs a revival. You see, well, what happens? What goes on? Listen to this. You can follow along with me on the screen. This is how they spelled words in those days, but this is also the brilliance of their English. In 1739, arrived among us from England, the Reverend Mr. Whitefield, that's George Whitefield, who had made himself remarkable there as an itinerant preacher. He was at first permitted to preach in some of our churches. I find it interesting. I'm reading Ben Franklin right now. He says, our churches, but the clergy, taking a dislike to him, soon refused him their pulpits, and he was obliged to preach in the fields. The multitudes of all sects, so Methodists, Lutherans, whatever, Baptist denominations that attended his sermons were enormous, and it was a matter of speculation to me, who was one of the number, to observe the extraordinary influence of this orator on his hearers and how much they admired and respected him, notwithstanding his common abuse of them. That's an awesome, that means he told them they were sinners. Whitefield told the congregation, the people in the fields, you're sinners, you need Jesus. That's what they would call, you're abusing them. So you abuse them today. It was to tell them the blunt truth. By assuring them they were naturally half beast and half devils. It was wonderful to see the change soon made in the manners, behavior of our inhabitants. This is Benjamin Franklin, ladies and gentlemen, speaking about colonial America. From being thoughtless or indifferent about religion, it seemed as if All the world were growing religious, so that one could not walk through the town in an evening without hearing psalms sung in different families of every street. Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin on his writings of George Whitefield. That's revival. That would be awesome. Can that happen again? I'm hoping it happens again. Listen, I've got grandkids. It better happen again. You want this to happen, believe me. If you're a red-blooded Christian, listen, even if you are, if you're not a Christian and you're an American, you'd want this to happen. Revival. Another thing is this. As I begin to wrap this up, it's time for us to love Jesus more. I don't need to stress that. We need to love him more. You know, a couple of weeks ago, were you guys here on that Sunday morning? I told you guys, I got some heat from the guys. I got emotional at the end of one of the services, and it really bothered the men of the church. They thought I was going girly. It's weird. Pastor, you okay, dude? Man, you all right? You can confess whatever you need to me. What's up? You know, you okay? Something behind all that? Yeah, God. I think God wants to do something. But listen, here's the thing. I shared that day, and I said, you know what? I think God's about to do something, good, bad, or ugly. I said, God's about to do something. And I'm wondering, I told Lisa tonight, I said, I'm wondering if last Friday is that. An earthquake happened. And there's a shaking going on. People are falling into the church and falling out. I don't mean this church. That always happens, in and out. I'm talking about the church in America. People are falling in and falling out. What's the deal? Just keep shaking, God. Shake it. It's your tree. You shake it. It's his church. You shake it. It's all about loving Jesus more. The next thing, I love this because I believe this is one of the keys to God moving in revival. It's time for us to be broken before God again, to be broken. We're too proud. We're too proud. We can be proud of our country and thank God for it. I'm talking about internal pride and the arrogance of denominational arrogance. What are you? Oh, I'm a Baptist. Oh, you're a Baptist. What are you? Oh, I'm a Lutheran. You think God's a Baptist? Well, there's John the Baptist. He wasn't a Baptist. John baptized people, thus they called him John the Baptist. I heard the Baptist say, well, even John the Baptist was a Baptist. He baptized people. There's no sections up in heaven. Lutheran, Methodist, Calvary, Chapel. There's none of that junk. None of it. It's time to be broken before God. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:6 that we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Gia led us in worship with this song tonight. We need to see ourselves as we really are in Christ. I want to make this very positive, believe it or not. Revival. But we need to be broken. We need to see ourselves as we are really in Christ. What does this mean? We sang it tonight. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Watch. If my people, this is very amazing. If my people who are called by my name. Someone would stop right there and say, Jack, that's a promise to the Jew only. I understand what you're saying. And the promise is first given to the Jews. You are correct. But the book of Colossians comes along, written by a Jew to a bunch of Gentiles, and he says, hey, guess what? All those promises that have been given to the Jews, God gives you those promises too, because all are one in Christ. So listen, are you a Christian? Raise your hand tonight. Are you a Christian? Listen, you're called by the name of the Lord. Christ dwells in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, my people who are called by my name, that's me, that's me, that's me. I qualify. What? Number one, notice, my name, your identity is in God. So whoever we are, our identity is in the Lord. We'll humble themselves. We decide that tonight. We can't fix what's going on. Neither can Washington. Neither can Sacramento. Just visit those cities and you can see that the people are in power, can't handle the thing. I was in Washington, D.C. not all that long ago, and it was a walled community. There were barricades and armored personnel carriers parked in the street in our own capital because of fear. against terrorism and against attack. Psalm 127 tells us, unless God watches the house or keeps the house, the watchman watches in vain. There's no way. Unless God protects us. God can save your family. God can save your life. God can save this church. God can save America. We just need to turn back to him in a broken way. Not telling him what to do, but falling down before him like a dead man. And pray. That's to cry to him. And seek. That word means to pursue him. Friends, are you willing to cry out to God in private and in public and pursue him? Do you know how? Listen, pursue him. Think of the word pursuit. Oh, look, turn on your TV. There's another pursuit on TV. Those are always fantastic to watch. I don't know why they're so entertaining. But somebody's being overtaken by the powers that be. And it's inevitable. And I think about that. Lord, catch us. Lord, T-bone us right in the pride. Knock the wind out of us, God, if need be. But find us broken. Cause us, Lord God, to turn, it says. That is the word repent from our wicked ways. Whatever's going on in your life, if God is telling you it's wicked, stop now while he's talking to you. It's a terrible day if he stops. Then he says, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive you your sins and heal your land. Being broken before him, James puts it this way in James 4, 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil. Man, and he will flee from you. Note that promise. Hey, you know what? James 4, 7, you ought to write that down. What a promise. Are you getting harassed in this world? By things physical or things invisible. There is a great verse. Submit to God, resist the devil, he's got to flee. Notice the combo. Submit to God and resist the devil. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded, never being able to stay on track with God. Lament and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. We need to adopt these verses and do them. Listen, number five, it's time for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't get out of bed tomorrow. Please, you know the drill here, right? Don't get out of bed tomorrow without asking God to baptize you afresh with his Holy Spirit. And listen, don't get into some theological persuasion. Oh, well, you know, the church I grew up, they just said that only happens once and never again. And then I read this book. Just stop. Just do all of us a favor. When you wake up, say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit's power today. Amen. Will you do that for us? We need you to do that because we have to live with you. We need you to do this. So let your feet hit the planet and then run with Jesus. And you don't have to look back all day. You'll have his power. He's promised that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Why Are You Standing Here? It's to commemorate the celebration of our nation's birth from a biblical worldview. We hope you've benefited from these last couple of broadcasts. We'll get back to Pastor Jack's mini-series called You Need to Know All About the Gospel Truth on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, listen, if you have not visited reallifewithjackhibbs.org lately, you really should when you get a chance. reallifewithjackhibbs.org is a great resource. Just one visit and you'll know what we're talking about. You can access just about anything connected to Real Radio, previously aired Real Radio programs, real life videos, real life devotions. Of course, you hear us mention those from time to time. You can get in on our special offers and Pastor Jack's hand-selected book of the month and a whole lot more. So once again, visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll be right back. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.